Management of Ticks. Hello, my name is Susan Orban, and I'm coordinator of the Washington County Coalition for Children. With us today are Dr. Louise Kiesling and Anna Chacon from Brown University to provide information about the management of ticks. To address this concern, we've created two podcasts to address the following issues. What are ticks? How common are ticks? What can I do if I suspect my child has a tick? And what can I do to reduce my child's ticks? Some parents may find it helpful to listen to our other podcast describing childhood ticks before listening to this one. The current podcast is intended to offer suggestions to parents about what they can do to help their child reduce his or her tick, as well as treatment options available. Dr. Kiesling, can you tell us how parents can best help their children reduce their ticks?
Because ticks are suggestible, the single most important thing parents can do is ignore ticks and encourage others to do the same. This is counterintuitive and can be extremely hard to do sometimes, but it works surprisingly well. Ticks that are disruptive or distressing to the child or those around him will require more active management on the part of the child and parents. Parents and families play a key role in helping their children manage ticks and partnering with others, such as school personnel and their primary care providers, to support their children as well. Ultimately, a supportive family can best help children deal with most of the difficulties associated with ticks.
Studies have shown that parenting style is important for development and success of all children. Higher rates of depression and anxiety are associated with more rejecting and controlling parents, but accepting and autonomy-granting parenting styles are effective at transmitting positive emotions. It is important to understand that these movements or sounds are not done on purpose. Never imitate or make fun of your child's tick, of course, but do pay attention to your child's life in case others are doing this to them, because it would be very hurtful. Your child should understand that there is nothing wrong with them.
I can imagine this is a very important factor, especially at school. What can be done to help children with ticks succeed at school, Dr. Kiesling?
School staff can help provide support in daily experiences and achievements and serve as an aid to help counsel children and families. School personnel, in partnership with parents, can develop strategies for helping children cope with their ticks and work around them in academic activities and interactions with their peers. The type of classroom management varies depending on the child's needs, the extent of their tics, and other medical problems. A louder, more pronounced tic may need stronger classroom intervention, such as a safe space, the nurse's office or the gym perhaps, or allotted time where the child could release their tics or the stress sometimes associated with them.
Working with the school to establish a supportive environment among teachers and classmates, child and family, is key to effective management. It is important that the school have a non-punitive approach with regard to the tics, even if they are disruptive. A suggestion may be discussing the child's tics with classmates to provide a learning experience for their peers and gain acceptance by creating a comfort zone at school. While some children may be more comfortable talking about their tics, it is best not to pressure your child if he or she would rather not talk about it. In this case, a professional may be able to fill this role.
Besides managing responses to tics, are there any other treatment options available?
There are many treatment options available, ranging from medications to psychotherapy. But I should note that many doctors will not recommend any drugs at all unless the tic interferes significantly with the child's life. A very effective form of behavioral therapy is known as habit reversal training. The child can be coached to perform another activity as a substitute for their particular tic if it is particularly disturbing to the child or others. In other cases, teaching a child how to use relaxation can also help. The formal therapy that incorporates habit reversal training is called CBIT, Comprehensive Behavioral Intervention for Tics. An example of the substitution would be to have the child squeeze a ball in his pocket, help the child become aware of the urge to crotch grab, and then substitute squeezing the bowl rather than the more disturbing tick.
What can parents expect the future to look like for their child with ticks, Dr. Kiesling?
Parents should first of all be reassured that ticks are very likely to improve by 18 years of age, and outcomes for functioning are generally optimistic. Children with ticks have a good prognosis, and most will lead normal lives. There are many other factors that are involved in predicting your child's future, such as referrals to specialists, severity, impairment, integration into the community, and other medical problems.
I'd like to note that there are many individuals who have achieved great success despite having ticks. Doctors, lawyers, teachers, actors, professional athletes, artists, musicians, nurses, and many others in all walks of life who have or have had ticks lead successful lives. So, children with ticks can lead happy, productive lives in spite of their symptoms. People with ticks are as smart, athletic, and talented as anyone else.
That's right, Anna. Ticks do not have to be a barrier to success. Treatment and management, education, acceptance among peers and close contacts, personal attitudes, and the attitudes of others can have a significant impact. Remember that most ticks will resolve even without treatment. So the aim is to ameliorate the current effects on the child's life until the situation resolves itself. As you may have learned from these two podcasts, ticks are so common that anyone can have them. Most people will lead normal and productive lives, and many are very successful. In addition, famous people and other health providers have worked hard to develop resources like the Tourette Syndrome Association or centers like the Tick Disorders Clinic and Research Unit at Massachusetts General Hospital to help educate the public. These can serve as important resources for parents.
Thank you, Dr. Kiesling and Anna, for sharing this helpful information with us. We hope this podcast about strategies can help parents and children more effectively manage ticks. On the website, you can download an additional podcast about ticks and a reading list for parents who may want to take a more in-depth look at this topic. Thank you for listening.